Talking with Spencer Ingram with Ingram Accounting and Consulting today as we look at the expansion, the opening up of opportunities for young African-American professionals here in Tallahassee. And then in the second hour, we're going to take some time, the beloved Sue Semerau. This is a conversation we had with her a few years ago. I think you'll enjoy, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working. Every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
My friend, glad you've had a chance to join me on this occasion when we're going to be talking with Spencer Ingram. Fascinating fellow. He's got a tremendously diverse background and even now maintains a great deal of multiplicity in his professional life. I would say he participates equally well in areas of accounting and financial planning and business coaching and consulting and real estate and all sorts of things that make him quite useful to his clients. And in addition to those direct services that he provides with his clientele, he's an educator. He's done a great deal of that around the country and does so on a continuing basis. So I find it encouraging in many respects. Not the least of which is, here's an African-American man who never really questioned whether or not he could do what he wanted to do. It was always a matter of saying, I want to do that. I want to get to that. How do I get there? And I think to his credit, then, he's been able to establish not only a viable practice as a CPA firm, but keeping a hand in the lifeblood, the life of a number of other organizations, people like Miracle Hill, which is a historic organization. They've been caring for their residents now for, gosh, several decades, and a vital part of the Frenchtown community. So it's I find it inspiring. I think you will, too, to listen to him talk even about some of his beginnings, and where, in fact, he sees Tallahassee as of today in regard to economic development and opportunities for minorities in business. Speaking of business, the Office of Economic Vitality has provided us with their October numbers. The data driver report that they supply is designed to give us the most comprehensive and the most well-rounded view of our local economic trends, and it has a lot of good numbers in it. Employment for the city of Tallahassee is at 92,580. Leon County employment is at 141,330. Those are off year over year, but in the light of the circumstances here in 2020, it's actually only about an 8% reduction. So doing better than a lot of other communities around the country in that regard. Generally speaking, we'll say here, taxable sales Again, only down about 7%. We're expecting to see some of that rebound here for the fourth quarter. Industry and office vacancies seems to be up a couple of points, actually less than 1%. So that's a good thing. And the same thing with office vacancies. The industrial vacancies, about half a percent. The office vacancies up about 1%. So in regard to the fact that we have come through a cataclysmic shutdown of the local economy, this is actually remarkably good news. And so we're going to let me get through this report with you. This comes by way of the executive director, and that is Chris Rito. He serves as the ED for the Appalachian Regional Planning Council. Okay, and he says, as our regional economy continues to struggle from recent disasters such as Hurricane Michael and COVID-19, it's essential to identify resources that will aid in saving or creating jobs. Many small businesses are in need of capital to survive these tough times, and traditional lending institutions may not always be an option due to rigorous qualification requirements. So the recently announced Revive Revolving Loan Fund program via the Office of Economic Vitality is a potential tool to assist small businesses. So you have public and private organizations stepping up to try to provide funding for local business. And if you haven't participated in any of that, well, I encourage you to check it out. If you're a small business owner, you can go to their website, and that's oevforbusiness.org. Okay, so it's OEV and then the word for, F-O-R, business.org. Check it out, see what's available. You may be fortunate enough to score some additional loan or grant money. Leon Cares is still actively participating in that and offering us locally a grant program that you can apply for as well. Speaking of the county, they have their ongoing Adopt a Tree program. I'll remind you of this. And they're going to continue to accept applications through January 31st of the coming year. And you can choose from Sweet Bay Magnolia, Swamp White Oak, Red Buckeye, those three as options. And basically you get to go and find trees if you need them for your personal property, for your business property, and all of this provided to you by way of Leon County. And we're happy about that, are we not? Because after all, Leon County needs more trees. Created by, let's see here, what else do we have? Oh, I've already told you this. Leon County named Jeff Ward as Volunteer Firefighter of the Year. So congratulations to Jeff. That happened here about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. The last little announcement for you. Let's see here. This is the Jack Hadley Black History Museum, reminding you that they have a second virtual talk series coming up. And this is called Camellia Massacre 1868, presented by Josh Butler. And if you want to find out more about the Jack Hadley Museum, well, that's simple enough. If you will check out, let's see here, what is their website? Yes, so that website address for Jack Hadley Black History Museum is just as it sounds, jackhadleyblackhistorymuseum.com. Rather lengthy, you got to type in all them letters, but it's worth it. The Jack Hadley Black History Museum up there in Thomasville itself, a rather historic entity, the museum and all of its contents. So check that out, folks. I think you'll enjoy learning more about our history as a region. Let me encourage you to check out our website. TallahasseeTalks.com is the place to go if you've missed any of the shows that we have broadcast over the last 11 years. Well, they're all there. And we are excited to tell you that I've got Sue Semeroff from back in 2015. She's going to be with us in the second hour. And as we do so, it gives us a chance to kind of look back through our archives. But if you want to do so on your own, go to TallahasseeTalks.com, look for the archive page, and you can do a search for a guest or a topic that you might want to check out there. You want to listen to it. If you haven't, you can subscribe to the podcast and be kept informed at all times. Or if you have a topic that you'd like us to consider, you can email us topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Stay with me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks, with our rather remarkable executive producer, Carl, who is constant. He's regular as the rain, we'd say. He just makes sure that everything lines up correctly and people aren't jumping off cliffs because they can't seem to make sense of anything that we've done here. He is the guy keeping us between the lines. So shout out to Carl for his hard work and his professional expertise. He's an able audio producer, among many of his talents. And so, you know, you should kind of check him out there. Look him up if you need some audio production done for an event or something you're working on. Hey, he's the best. That's why we got him. Folks, I want to tell you, too, that we have in our company here been fortunate enough to bring together so many very talented people over the years. And I mentioned Carl. In the same breath, I would talk about Cheryl Barlow, who is now the agency director for Capstan Marketing, one of Alcom's four companies. Alcom Corporation is the parent company that has now authored or fostered these four other companies underneath it. And Capstan Marketing is one of them. And Cheryl Barlow does a remarkably wonderful job in caring for the clients that Capstan serves in regard to marketing and advertising, public relations and social media, all of those things that are part and parcel these days, web development, even websites, website design and such, which we are pleased to say we have at our disposal for those purposes, our MOSA design group. And now you're talking about web design and audio and video production, graphic design, even copywriting, script writing. It's a voice talent. It's a really remarkable collection. We call them the Uncommon Creative Alliance of creators over there. Dave Barfield and kind of heads up that whole side of the world for us. Carl, of course, is a part of that mix. And Annette and Stefan, there's a host of folks there who have contributed sizably to the good of clients who look for creative materials. Even if you're looking for like a brochure or some kind of a sales material designed for your company or your organization, well, that's a good place to look. You can find these companies along with the other two companies under alcomcorporation.com. So you check out the website. You'll find Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, and that is the company that produces this show, as well as providing Moose Magnificat, the radio station that brings you all local musicians playing their original songs 24/7. That's Moose Magnificat online at moosemagnificat.com. And delightfully so, we're a part of that lineup. So this show airs Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock on Moose, and again on Sunday afternoons at 3, and Wednesday afternoons at 5:30, all at Moose Magnificat. They have a free app that you can download, and it is a remarkably well-sounding production. So if you've got the Moose app on your phone, man, you are connected, and you can listen at any time. Some of the best music in the Southland right here on moosemagnificat.com. So that's all good news. And let's see, what else did I want to tell you? If we are, in fact, able, we're going to try to bring you more information from the projects around town that are afoot. We have a number of guests lined up for you over the next few weeks in advance here, and we're going to try to bring a better perspective on various economic initiatives, the development of various commercial enterprises, new businesses that are coming to town or reopening, real estate development. Want to try to get you a little bit better informed on kind of where this town is headed when it comes to the advancement of our development, we'd say. You know, we spend a lot of time here looking at social and cultural issues, some political. Most of the time we're just focused on people and the things that make this town what it is. But intersecting with that in an interactive way are the facilities themselves, the installations, the buildings, the parks, the businesses, the organizations that are an expression of, if you think about it, what we really are and what we are becoming. You know, my encouragement to you is that you participate in that. You know, we have city and county governments that are doing everything they can, I think, to open that door to us. Make sure that we're a part of those public meetings if you can't be there in person. And these days, it's ill-advised anyway. But you have opportunities online to participate in county and city commission meetings or to participate in other community-wide meetings that come by way of an organization. Either it's the Office of Economic Vitality, or it may be another one of the chamber groups in town that's offering an opportunity to learn from the people firsthand who are making decisions, decisions that affect you and I. So be civic-minded in that regard. You know, it's unfortunate that most of us, I think, sit back and we wait until the next election so that we can put somebody in our place and let them do all the heavy lifting. Well, guess what, folks? That's not what the framers of the Constitution had in mind. Remember that we are a democracy and a republic, and as such, we govern ourselves. You know, it's the government that is consented, that is to say, by the consent of the governed, government is empowered. That is, those who are in leadership then really act on our behalf. But unless and until we take an active role in that, staying informed, staying educated, knowing what's going on around us, well, we're to be pitied, because we're not going to be able to take advantage of the very things that are being placed in our hands. So why would you do that? Why would you have these wonderful tools at your disposal and not put them to use for your own good and for the sake of your family, for your kids and their kids? That's kind of how it rolls when you're talking about a community like ours that is relatively small and relatively more diverse than many of our size. It's imperative. You got to stay plugged in, you got to stay in tune, and you got to be willing to speak up.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557. More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Spencer Ingram is originally from Vero Beach, Florida. He earned his bachelor's degree in accounting in 1994 from Florida A&M University, and then a master's in business administration from Florida State University in 1996. The following year, Spencer was accepted as a certified public accountant with the State Board of Accountancy, and he is our guest this morning. How are you, Mr. Ingram? Nice to have you with us.
I'm glad to be back.
Thank and you. I will, yes, on your second, is this your second appearance on the show? I think so. Well, where you been, man?
Working
just out
hard.
There working like
working
a
hard.
Son of a gun. Spencer, you have served and continue to serve a number of businesses and organizations around this community and beyond, have done so for a number of years. And I find it useful to be able to check in with you as to how we're doing as a community when it comes to economic growth, when it comes to the development of our sense of belonging, how we really are better connected. So many times we have heard it said, and it's not infrequent, not even distant past, that we have at least two Tallahassees. And so part of my curiosity is to say, how do you experience Tallahassee personally?
Interesting question. You know, having been a business owner since 1994 and having had a very different path by leaving school and just kind of going at it on my own. You know, I've had a wonderful opportunity over the last 26 years of going across a cross section of businesses or having interactions. I would argue at my 48 years, I've probably seen quite a bit, you know, in terms of business for somebody my age, because I started out on my own, if you will. And so one thing that I think is very attractive here in Tallahassee is the fact that the, especially the minority professional areas in terms of whether it's legal, I would say insurance. We have done, I think, have made it very open. Whereas I've seen, you know, quite a few of my clients who provide professional services do extremely well. Real estate. I have quite a few real estate clients. So I would challenge, really, if you think about it, if you look at, of course, in bigger population cities, but I would probably guess on per capita, we're probably doing pretty good in terms of professional black businesses, if you look at it. And of course, we have challenges, don't get me wrong. But
what are what are those challenges as you see them now?
Oh, I see challenges. Access to capital is always a challenge. I think having the, a lot of times we're starting from scratch. You know, like in my case, it's not where there's a legacy or there has been a passing down from generation. We're learning. We're the first generation that's kind of learning as we go. And I like to share with people, you know, because I do. I teach as well.
Do you?
I teach other CPAs throughout the country.
And what are those topics often?
Typically tax. But I say go to school on my dime, you know, learn from my mistakes. And so there have been a lot of mistakes that I think we make as first-generation entrepreneurs, or even second, because even to the truth of the matter, my grandfather had a business. he used to mow groves in Vero Beach, Florida, tractors. And before they start spraying, they would mow the grove with these tractors. So at any rate, if you ask that question, I think we're doing pretty good. Is there a lot of things that we can do better? Yes. I think our Office of Economic Vitality is doing a good job of trying to promote, whether it's procurement opportunities, whether it's trying to do education, getting people together, and expand the opportunities for.
You know, one of the ways that Jim Bellamy and I got to know each other, we attended the presentation that was made about a year ago now, maybe a year and a half ago, regarding opportunity zones.
Right.
And found that to be a remarkably, I thought, refreshing sort of approach. It's another way, as opposed to you and I having a nonprofit organization and we're standing in a line that stretches from here to eternity,
right,
applying for grant money. You know, and Jim recently having applied again, finally, USDA grant comes his way. And we talked at length about the opportunity zone concept, where you and I have folks around us and we all put our money together, and there's built into that then these tax incentives. What do you think of that whole idea?
Well, anything to encourage investment, especially in certain targeted areas, especially those who may have had their better days behind them, you know, to bring those areas back
to bring capital to bear.
It's obviously, I think that just makes sense.
You know, the thing I like about it, though, too, Spencer, is that it could take what is a more welcome concept in a given neighborhood. I mean, when I say welcome, less contrary to the history and culture of that neighborhood. And I think of Frenchtown, where gentrification is not a concern.
Right now.
Because, well, it is a concern at large, but I'm saying, if you and I come to a group of investors and say, we want to create this opportunity in Frenchtown community, and local residents in that community look at that and say, yeah, that fits. That is like the old days,
right,
when we had grocery stores,
right,
and we had a lot of thriving businesses, as opposed to you and I being down there in West Palm and we're going to put, you know, $100 million into a high-rise,
right,
and drop that in the center of the neighborhood. What? How does that work? But, yeah, let's talk a little bit about the growth in Tallahassee. You know, you've talked about it sort of from your perspective,
right,
as an entrepreneur going up through. If we look at it from top down and we look at where the money goes, you know, the universities that acquire monies or the private investors that are putting up another dorm or I should say apartment building, or, you know, whether it's housing or entertainment. And it just changes the character. That all happens without any of us really having a chance to sign off on that, right? It just happens because of, I guess, zoning provisions. What do you think about all that?
Well, again, just personal opinion.
Well, that's what you're here for.
You're right. You know, I wish there was more participation. I mean, you know, a lot of times those types of entities either have a whole production that comes into town, and they,
right,
you know, so I'm a local guy. You
Me
know,
too.
I'm all about local. I'm all about,
yeah,
you know, taking care of the people who are here. And so, you know, naturally, I think we need to improve in that area in terms of making sure that local people benefit
And have voice in that.
Right, exactly.
Well, again, if the opportunity zone concept or other approaches are like that really pull from, right?
Right. But I guess the question that I have is, how do you get a lot of folks like me to the table?
Right.
You know,
the money.
Yeah, and to showcase our talents, because a lot of times we are working, you know, in terms of we have started from you know, like I mentioned, making these mistakes, or you know, you don't might not have the infrastructure that a long-standing firm may have had, you know, or may have.
Right.
And so, you know, just getting those people, getting people to the, who is that connector, who is that group? And I want to say again, between the local chambers, the Economic Office of Vitality, you know, I think they're trying to do those things. But we do have quite a bit of ways to go.
He's the managing principal of Ingram Accounting and Consulting here in Tallahassee, and our guest this morning, good friend Spencer Ingram. Stay with me. We've got more after this.
The holidays are coming. Better shower up with a beautiful custom shower enclosure from Witt & Glass. Witt & Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed bath and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for 75 years. When you call Witt & Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Witt &'s top-of-the-line bath and shower enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family. And that means now is the time to shower up with style. Call Witt & Glass today, 222-5781. Or find lots of great ideas for your home at their website, wittandglass.com. W-H-I-D-D-O-N. Witt & Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Don't wait until it's too late. Call today, 222-5781.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Spencer Ingram, celebrated for his accomplishments as a CPA and principal at Ingram Accounting and Consulting. The consulting work that you do sounds like it takes you a lot of places around the country. Locally, when you have somebody and you're consulting with them about the growth of or management of their money, how does that conversation go? Where do you spend your time?
Okay, so typically you could have a situation. A lot of times it is related to business entity selection. Typically people want to make some type of change, take advantage of the tax code.
Okay, for structural example, stuff.
Yeah, structural stuff, but for example, I had just got off a call prior to coming here, and had a daycare person looking to acquire another daycare.
Huh.
And so, you know, what does that need to look like? You know, what are some of the things I need to look forward to? A lot of stuff is real estate related as well.
Interesting.
Interesting enough, I actually have a real estate license as well.
That's helpful.
Yeah, and because in order to actually be involved in buying and selling or brokering business sales, you have to have a real estate license in the state of Florida, whether real estate is involved or not. But so a lot of real estate questions, whether I should have a rental property in a LLC or type of entity. So in terms of the consulting piece, I mean, it can run the gamut, but again, like I said, I like to teach other CPAs throughout, and I'm with a consulting group as that relates to that. You know, just it could be any everyday stuff, IRA distributions, you know, how much should I withhold? You know, something as simple as that.
Yeah.
A lot of deaths, unfortunately. I guess as my clients get older, I've had quite a few having to deal with, you know, how do we handle this situation? Distribution of assets upon death, selling of my mom's stuff.
Wow.
And, you know, there's these various heirs. So that was one of my first emails this morning. So, I mean, that's the beauty in this business is being a CPA and an accountant. You're behind the scenes. So you see a lot of different things.
And with your multiple levels, multiple areas, I should say, of skill, professionally, you have the ability to bring your expertise to bear. That has got to be an advantage.
Oh yeah, and like I
clients.
Said earlier, I've seen a lot. I mean, I've owned a wastewater treatment plant. I've been involved in with Jeb Bush in One Florida. That's the only time I've got a government contract, believe it or not. But it was interesting. We were doing ability to pay analysis for underground storage tanks, that may have spilled and all that kind of stuff. So I would basically, you have an owner saying, oh, I don't have any money to clean it up. And the state is going to clean it up. So my job was to determine how much they can pay.
Tie that together.
Yeah, how much could they actually pay towards these various program costs. So I say that, I always say, as you have met me as CFO of Miracle Hill, so just the other, we are working on, I'll give you an update, we are working on, we're at the last stages of getting our permanent generator. It's not here yet. But we had to, I had to register the storage tank. It's an above ground. So, you know, then I pull back in that hat of back in the day.
Some of those
days. So it's just, it's been a fascinating 20-some plus years, you know.
I think you told me that you are one of two African-American CPAs in Tallahassee that work on your own, I will say standalone or independently, have your own firm.
Absolutely. Which is kind of discouraging considering the fact that you have a top-notch university, historically black college in, in FAM, Florida A&M University, and, you know, FSU, they have a nice program as well as it relates
to
accounting.
Well, it begs the question.
Yes.
Do those outcomes occur because of barriers, or are they coming because people make choices and say, nah, I'd rather go do that because I'll make more money or that's more interesting, or is it both?
I think it's a little bit of both, but you know, one thing that was very interesting to me, I used to adjunct teach at Flagler. I was part of the first faculty that came aboard. And so I did that in 2001 or so. Came back in 2012, and I think I taught again. And the beauty in it was I had the most diverse class that I ever had seen. I mean, you had Asians, you had blacks, you had, I mean, it was beautiful. So I'm thinking, okay, you, this is, it's changing. And so I think that happens, but I think what, and if you look at the literature, you'll see where when people, one, the firms don't hire as many, you know, I think it's like 1%. And two, I think when folks get in those situations, because you don't see folks like you, you don't feel, you know, naturally you don't feel as included. So therefore you might get discouraged and say, you know what, let me try something else. Or they don't stick it out. Because again, when I teach these firms, at these firms, I teach at like top 50 firms in the country. And my students, you can go to my Facebook page, Ingram Accountant. I always take pictures with them. You'll see maybe one at the most, you know, every, and I'm talking about, I go to Vegas, I go to Boston, I go to Buffalo, I go to New York, I go to New Jersey. And so, again, you know, it's a great profession, but we've just had a poor job of, you know, recruiting and maintaining.
You referred to some of the literature, and it really talks about the lack of diversity in the profession. But you, it sounds like you have never let that hold you back.
Yeah, I just have had a history of being the only one. I mean, it goes from elementary school. I'm serious. I somehow got bused to the beach. So it was me and this other black guy named Brian Carter all the way up through. Then when I get into middle school, I take accelerated classes. I'm the only guy, what they call level four class. I'm the only person in there. I get to high school, I'm taking AP classes. It's just me and my girlfriend, you know? So even though I played with, I went to church with other, you know, and I, my neighborhood, it just, and so when I went to FAMU, literally, I was in a culture shock because I thought, wow, I'm not the smartest black guy out there. You know, there's other guys smarter
than me. Had a little bit of
a
comeuppance there, did you?
Yeah, so, but anyway, so it makes me, I'm extremely comfortable in my skin because people are people. I mean,
indeed.
You know, bottom line is we talk long enough.
We all care about the same things.
We'll find out we got more in common than we do.
We all care about the same things.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I've been very lucky that I have been one of those people, like you say, that kind of knew early on what I was designed to do. And whether it was, I knew it was business. Yeah. I mean, I walked around with the Wall Street Journal in my
you gotta fake it till you make it, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm talking about eighth grade. You know, I'm walking around with the Wall Street Journal.
Your briefcase.
Right?
And,
exactly.
Your suit and tie.
And the tennis racket.
Like,
I mean,
you were Spencer.
I had these various God winks where people, even though I was called names, and you know, I was called white boy, I was called nerd, and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And I did academic games and went to Gatlinburg
whatever.
And all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I had these athletes or other cool people kind of, I'm not going to say validate me, but just if they bother you, let me know.
Wow.
You know, so they saw something in me to kind of say, don't worry about them. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Affirmation is a big part of our success, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not only for our colleagues, but how about those younger professionals, men and women coming up through the ranks? Spencer Ingram, what an inspiring person you are. Thanks for making this show a part of your day and making it enjoyable for us.
Well, I thank you and I appreciate the
time. Appreciate you having us a part of all that you are doing. And folks, this is a great individual to keep track of. Let me give you a website if you want to check out. So the website is ingramaccounting.com, just like it sounds. I-N-G-R-A-M, accounting.com. Spencer Ingram, our guest. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you.
Folks, stay with me. We got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. You know, something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. A pleasure to have you with me, as always, on any occasion, wherever you are, whatever you may be doing. Hopefully you are in good health and in good spirits, and hopefully you know better today than you did last week who you are, what you're worth, and why you're here. And I need to say that again? Yeah. Who are you? Well, that is to say, what makes you unique? What's different about you in the world, which really is independent of your self-worth, and it's independent of what you do. You know, too oftentimes we define who we are by what we do, whether it's our job or our relationship to our kids. You know, I'm grandpa, or I'm brother, or I'm mom, you know, or I'm employed here, or I do this kind of work. That's who I am. No. Now, that may be one way of looking at it, and it may be even the more prominent way of us defining who we are. But in fact, I would propose to you that who you are is a compilation of all that has been given you. And along the way, all that you've experienced has helped to shape and refine that. And we talked with Spencer Ingram in the first hour. A great example of somebody who just very early on had this sort of sense of who he was, and undefined in some respects, unrefined, of course, as a youngster, but fortunate enough to come through life and find himself affirmed in many ways as he continued to discover, this is who I really am, and never really looked left or right to try to figure out if somebody else was a better version of him than the one that he was living. That's a long way of saying, don't compare yourself to other people. You just can't. I mean, we do, but that's not where you're going to find who you really are. I will say that your relationships will help you in arriving at that answer. Those significant relationships you maintain in your life, whether they're familial, if they are platonic friendship relationships, if they are business related in some respects. You know, who are the people in your life who affirm you in knowing you as you are, for who you are? knowing what your ambitions are, what your hopes and dreams are, the things that you care most passionately about, the aspirations that you hold, the places that you want to go in your life, the places that you've been. Who are those people? And how often are you in connection with them? How often do they simply look at you for who you are and simply say, I really love you, or I admire you, or I am glad to know you? Not because you've done anything for them lately, or that they're expecting you to do anything for them. That this is not a quid pro quo sort of stance. This is about you finding yourself standing as you are, where you are, for who you are, good, bad, or indifferent. You are the one version of you that we have to work with. You are the one person that we know to be you. And as you discover more who that person is, and you discover what you care about, what you're willing to live for and die for, what you're willing to forgive, what you're willing to not forgive, what are you willing to defend? What do you believe in? How much are you willing to extend yourself to other people in affirming them? How well do you connect with other people? Do you maintain a level of secure connection, attachment, where conversation continues from time to time with those who are most significant to you? Or do you remain sort of isolated, disconnected, disenfranchised? Well, you know, when you talk to people like Spencer Ingram, you find out that's not a real great formula for success, and it's certainly not the pathway to answer the other two more often asked questions in our lives, and that is to say, who am I, what am I worth, and why am I here? And I would contend that you can't answer either of those two questions until you start with who you are, and that includes the people who are most significant to you. And if you're bold enough, you may just ask one of those people, somebody you really trust, just say, who am I in your mind? And that may seem a bit odd and awkward, but I would encourage you to persist in that. Who am I in your mind, you would say. You know, for me, it's a matter of the people that have helped to shape the answer to that question, have helped me better discover who I really am. And you know what's remarkable about that is that when I am disappointed, and like you, you get disappointed with things in life, or you feel set back or defeated or whatever it is you're dealing with, some disappointment, that affirmation of who I am, independent of my achievements, my successes, refuels, recharges me. And not only do we find that happening individually, one at a time for each of us, it happens corporately. So if you are feeling set back, pushed down, defeated, right, recognize that as a body of people, we have the ability to affirm one another and reestablish who we really are. And it's the theme of this show. You know, is there one Tallahassee that has many components and faces? That our diversity is not a matter of segregation. It's a matter of integrated identity. It's a matter of blending this sort of tapestry. And we can affirm one another if we have felt pushed back or set back, whether it's economics, maybe it's some local official that disappointed us, embarrassed us, broke broke a promise. Maybe it's the development of ideas that are contrary to our history and our vision for the future. Maybe it's the nagging challenge of poverty or homelessness or food scarcity. Maybe what we need to do, and we're going to hear this in the words of Sue Semrau, she's about to join us from a conversation some years ago, maybe what we need to do is rework our game plan. Think about why it is that we are out there on the court. Why is it that we decide to be in the game to begin with? Why is it, my friend, that you are here? Who are you? What are you worth? And why are you here? You stay with me.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557. The best place for conversation. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we are back and we're talking with a young lady who has aspired to greatness, and originally a native of Seattle, Washington, and as it turns out, as fate would have it, a former neighbor of mine, although 8 years apart, I think we figured that out. Sue Semrau is our guest. How are you?
Doing great.
Coach, I guess you would be doing pretty good right now. I mean, this is kind of how it's supposed to happen. I mean, when you're sitting there in your planning and your team meetings and your practice, you're like, okay, this is what happens. We win the game. Doesn't always happen, but we kind of like that to happen if it's reasonably achievable. So tell us about this run. You guys
it's been really fun. Brian, it's like a type of year where you didn't know going in that it was going to be this type of year. We graduated one of the top picks in the WNBA last year, had a lot of new players coming in, and just credit to those kids and my staff that they've developed a unity that really goes beyond their skill level. You know, you can have great skill, but if you're not playing as a unit, then you don't win a lot of games.
I read once recently about, was it Bill Russell that was asked, can the Bulls win the championship now that they have Michael Jordan? And he said, no. And they said, why? He said, because there's only one ball.
Mm.
So Michael hasn't yet figured that part out. That speaks to this idea that when we come together as a team,
that's right,
in basketball, in life, things can really happen that we didn't predict.
Absolutely.
We could not have anticipated.
And I think it's a great thing when you have a group of people who will work and sacrifice and achieve some success when they don't care who gets the credit. I think, you know, Florida State women's basketball right now has achieved unprecedented success. But I don't think anybody knows any of the players' names as a household name. And that's just because of their selflessness.
And they're okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what athletics should be all about. Certainly not if you're a golfer, but.
How do you instill that?
You know, I think it's an intentionality that on the part of my staff and my team, that when we go out and we recruit players, we recruit in such a way that they understand that even though they're extremely talented, it's not going to be just about them. I've got four different high school All-Americans on the team who wanted to come and play with the best and against the best. And that's what they're able to do at Florida State.
Ah. In that career that you've had at Florida State, how long have you been coaching there?
18 years.
Wow. I was just a little kid then.
Me too. I don't know how they gave a 12-year-old the job.
How does this happen?
I know.
But man, what a contribution. I mean, and I've heard you, as many of our listeners have on various occasions, speak to this issue of the game and life at large. And I remember hearing you speak to a group of chamber members at one breakfast occasion and talking about the loss of a player, a young woman who died, and the team having to come together around that and walk through that tragedy. And it was to talk about that particular occurrence, and I'm sure there have been a lot of other things that have come since then that have challenged your resolve. Can you speak to how that affected you or how it changed you, if it did?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, that was back in 2004 when a sophomore on my team had a very rare disease called Marfan syndrome. And there wasn't a lot of detection for that. And it was one night, 3 a.m., I got a phone call that basically it's a disease of the connective tissue, and hers was in her heart. And the connective tissue couldn't withstand the blood circulation, so very suddenly that
disintegrated.
Wow. and she died that very night, and just going through that as a unit, as a family, with her family and locking arms, was something that did test our resolve. But honestly, you know, with her family's help, going out brought us very close and helped us to realize the importance of things beyond the court. Even this past year, we had a young lady on our team whose mother was suddenly diagnosed with bladder cancer, and for her teammates to come around her, for the university to allow me to get her mom moved up here into hospice in Tallahassee, and our team to be around her mom in her final days, I think that does something to you and helps you really realize the big picture.
When you're back to the game itself and you have already walked through whatever life has brought you as a team, how do you move from all of that and then become focused on this activity? Talk about that process, I guess.
Yeah, and I think your knees are probably a little weak a lot of times. And that's why I try to spend a lot of time on mine so that I can find some strength.
Prayer is good.
Yes, very much so. I think that you've got to have that personal strength that for me, you know, just comes from God and knowing that this is the mission that I'm called to be on. But I think then locking arms with people that are struggling with you, but to do something else. So you're not sitting there trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to deal with this issue? You take the strength that you have and you put it in to another area. And for us, it's basketball. For us, we are able to go out and to put all of that energy into something else. And I think it's because we address what's going on. We don't pretend it doesn't happen. We deal with it, but then we don't deal with it and stop. We deal with it and move into a different environment.
Talking with Sue Summerall here, coach, Florida State women's basketball, having a pretty good run at things so far this year. And certainly we are delighted for you and for your staff, for your team, for Florida State fans. This is a great thing. Even better that you've decided to give us just a little bit of your time, because this is busy time for you. Folks, stay with us. We're going to learn more from this young lady who has brought to Tallahassee, I think, as we talk about Tallahassee, perhaps a different vision, a different view of what it means to be an athlete, what it means to be a collegiate athlete, what it means to be a Tallahassean. You stay with us. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back talking with Coach Sue Cimarro, Florida State women's basketball. A little bit about life's lessons. It sounds like suffering and adversity, as those things do happen to all of us, right? I mean, none of us are untouched. Can either make us or break us. Is that too glib? But I mean, I know it sounds like a Hallmark card, but
yeah.
But seems to me in your description of it, there really is a kind of processing that goes on. And I'm curious as to, for this year particularly, is there a kind of unknowable quantity of inspiration that you just can't fake? You either have it or you don't? Or, I mean, as a coach, you talked about this. Man, I got some great players. They have great athletic ability. They're disciplined. And yet, this other sort of unmeasurable spark comes along, and man, they are just clicking on all cylinders. How do you account for that?
Well, you know, again, I think if you look at everything as a blessing, not just when things go well, but when things are difficult, I think you have a more clear vision of what life really is. And there's a healthy tension that has to exist. You know, the same two fingers, the thumb and the index finger that pick up a contact lens, you know, are so just gently, are the same two fingers that can pick up a rock that can really hurt something.
And, or a gun.
Or a gun, exactly. And you've really got to manage that tension. And the tension can be a really healthy tension if the good things are dealt with in a certain way, but also the hard things are dealt with in a certain way. And you've got to have both. What life is.
It sounds like, too, that for you, the collective is really a source of that. You talked about your personal faith in God, but then you talk about how, as a team, there's that sort of collective resolve, and you help each other in the process of it all, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pulling together, we say.
Well, and I think transparency is so huge, because I think with transparency, trust is developed. And that's something that, when you have trust, if you're a part of a group, whether it be a family, a team, a business, things tend to work much better. And I've seen a lot more success in that.
Yeah. Coaching has changed a lot. Would you agree?
Collegiate
athletics has changed dramatically.
Yes.
It's not just for the sport of it anymore, or the, let's say, the academic aspects of it. It's business, big business.
Yeah, it is big business. And I think, too, that there's a lot of entitlement that the athletes are feeling now, that because of the big business, because in some instances, sport is making a lot of money. I mean, I just read today that the NCAA made over $1 billion this year. And so then the athletes look at that and say, well, I deserve a piece of that. And rather than it just being, wow, I get a scholarship to come and to play the sport I love, it's become more than that. And I think part of our job as coaches is to take them back down to, what is pure about sport? Why are we doing this? What is pure about education? And this is really what it's all about.
And we've done that to ourselves, haven't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've lost the joy of just doing something for the sake of doing it.
And I think, too, you know, you look at the great American dream, and everything tends to be about making money. And I don't know until you've made money and you realize there really isn't anything in money, It's the relationships that you build on the way. It's the experience you have. And that's unfortunate that, you know, through all the social media, through all the media period, you look and you see the best and the beautiful and the bright, and it's not what it's all cut out to be in real life.
That made me laugh when I got this story the other day. You probably saw that the National Association of golf caddies now are suing or have come with a class action suit against the PGA because they want a piece of the action. They are historically have been asked to wear bibs during any golf match, and the bibs are, of course, embroidered with or imprinted with some sponsor's logo, and it represents a sizable amount of cash, and so they want their piece of the action.
Unbelievable.
There you go.
Yeah.
Who knew? The caddies. We just thought the caddies were just like Bill Murray, you know, people who were just kind of lovable, and turns out they got needs. So in the face of those kinds of pressures, let's say, and I mean, I guess that is a kind of pressure, isn't it, for a young athlete? Because meanwhile, his or her family is saying, "Hey, you got to go. You got to, you know, it's your year," and so now off they go.
Well, or even, you know, you need to be the one with the ball in your hands the whole time because you're building your brand right now. And if you want to go on and you want to play and you want to be sponsored,
star status,
you need to have that. And and it just isn't good for the sake of a team. And we don't want those types of players on our team.
Are you abide with this idea that it's better to keep your eyes on that process? I mean, I'm saying in play on the court rather than looking at the scoreboard. Do you say, look, stay to the fundamentals, bounce the ball, pass the ball? That's where the game is played.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that our team does a great job of just focusing on getting better. You know, you can dream and think all you want, and don't believe me, we do that. We do that at the beginning of the year. We do that periodically throughout the year, but then we zoom right back down to what it will take to achieve those types of dreams.
And what does that require? I mean, when we talk about, again, today's college athlete, the academics, the outside pressure, the family pressure, the demands of the game fundamentally.
It's very intentional.
Man.
Their schedules are very intentional to achieve the type of success that they want to achieve, both on the court but also in the classroom and in life. And we get to help them manage that. And I think it's important too that, you know, they feel the support for getting an A as much as they feel the support for getting 12 rebounds. And I think even in going out in the community, I think of Lauren Coleman on our team, a fifth-year senior who's involved with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. She doesn't have a lot of time, but she makes that choice to enhance her own character and be a part of this community.
And you said earlier, it is always a matter of choosing. You know, how are you going to use the things that have been given to you for good or for harm? Is it often that you have players pull you aside and say, "Coach, I really need to talk. I have that need in my life." Is that a big part of your role then with your team?
It is, and I share that with my assistant coaches as well. I think they know that we do care, and we want to hear the things in their life that are hard. We understand that all the pressures that they're getting in the classroom and through basketball are very difficult. So if we can help them bear the burdens that that come with just life, I think that's important. And they really don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And so we do try to stay available and walk through the difficulties.
How much is their family's involvement part of that whole process?
It's huge.
Stay real close?
Yeah. Very, very much so. You know, when we sign someone, we sign their whole family. And we make sure that I don't want to screw up what their family's done for 18 years, you know, in the four I have. I want to make sure that they're handing me a baton and saying, "Hey, okay, we trust you to keep running with this."
Right. Seems to me that that has become a hallmark, if I can say this, about Florida State athletics. I think that's a fair assessment. I think that that carries over into a number of the sports that are presented and represented, whether it's basketball or golf or certainly football. Bowden is legendary for his hands-on personal relationship is where it's all about. I don't think Jimbo's any further away from that. I think
he's tremendous engaged with that. And I think, too, it plays into the culture of excellence that we have. I really don't believe that at this age, when young people are from 18 to 22, that they are going to be professional. They don't want to be treated as a professional at this point. And they're making that transition from their home life into a professional world, and so they need a little bit of both.
You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're talking with Coach Sue Summerow. You stay with us. We got more right up ahead.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking Florida State women's basketball. Doing okay. Doing okay. And looking forward to further wins up ahead. And as we talk with Coach Sue Summerow here, it's clear to me, Coach, that I'll say this. I can't imagine you doing anything else. Mm. Is that true?
I've thought a lot about what else I would be doing, and I don't think anything fits my personality quite like this does. So
for you, that is a kind of destiny. Did you know that when you were back there at Brookside Elementary
School? No, heck no, no.
Now, folks, you have to know this, that we went to the same elementary school, middle school, and high school, the Mighty Highlanders, right?
Mighty Highlanders,
and you know what? I was the voice of Big Otis.
No, that's big time. If y'all could just see Big Otis, he was this Scot that was on the wall in the gymnasium, and during pep rallies, Big Otis would speak to us.
I mean, this voice from, you know, on high.
Yes.
And
Hootmon.
Yeah. And that was the first indication that I might have the ability to be in front of a microphone. God only knows. But what a curious coincidence that you and I come from those places in the Pacific Northwest and those experiences and those times. And those times were, I would say, among other things, quite innocent comparatively. Mm. You know, we just didn't have the controversies. We didn't have the world events. That we were living in a very, I thought, safe world. Not so much anymore.
Now,
we have legislation being proposed as we speak here today about students being allowed to carry firearms on campus. Right. See, when I went to Seattle University, I was just worried about the parking.
I know it.
So what's happened to us, do you think? And when you look at the kinds of things that even Florida State has had to deal with in this last year and a half, 2 years of college football, that continues to be brought back to us, it seems, relentlessly. Here's a young man who is, as you said earlier, a young man in transition, a guy who was entrusted to us. And through the course of this last year, we've had a number of conversations with people from various walks of life, various professional backgrounds. But there was a kind of consensus that said, he's a kid. He's a young guy. The ability for him to perform on the football field, on that gridiron, was really the key. Hmm. And it overshadowed some of those, we'll say, softer questions about your personal behavior and the kind of mentoring that that requires. It sounds like that's the kind of mentoring you bring to your players, where, you know, it doesn't begin and end, you know, at the end of a game. You know, this is ongoing.
Well, and I think, too, that you look at the change in the last 20 years in the level of media. I mean, we're sitting now in a radio studio. That used to be really what it was about, radio, a little bit of television. Yeah. But now with the advent of the internet and social media, I think that there's a lot of ideas that are floating around out there that, you know, people don't have the character maybe to say, no, that's not right. Mm-hmm. So maybe something that happened leads to more violence because it's out there and they see it and it's doable. And I think that's where we have a challenge right now as educators to continue to mentor and educate young people.
That you see yourself as an educator.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that capacity, when you bring a young person to that inherently national, international, global stage, is that part of the preparation? When you recruit somebody, you sit them down and go, now realize you're about to step out here and it's not your hometown anymore.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's a 24/7 news cycle. So every time you sneeze, we're going to know about it. You don't put on your turn signal because we know where you're going.
Well, yes, so much so. And we don't want to be a big brother here, but you almost can't help it. People are putting their lives out there so much through social media. And so we want to make sure that they're educated that, gosh, when I put something out on social media, it's not just my friends that are going to see this, but maybe my future employer, maybe the president of the university.
So get smart.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a part of this whole educator, coach
protocol
had to incorporate.
Well, that and also education in a positive way. The NCAA allows us to travel overseas once every 4 years. And so to be able to take our players over to Senegal, to Italy, to South Africa, and to see the Eiffel Tower in 3D, and to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa, to see orphanages and townships and all of those things that we've, over the years, been able to do. It's much more interesting than reading about it in a book.
Yeah, man. Last question. What do you love most about Tallahassee? You've been here 18 years.
You know, every time I fly into Tallahassee and get on a plane, I feel like I should know everyone that's on the plane. And I love that. I love that I will know someone, and I feel like I should know everyone. It's such a community feel. I love that, the businesses came out in support of our hosting the NCAA tournament this weekend. Yeah. And that during this weekend that you're listening to this broadcast, that business owners and individuals in our community have donated tickets to the Boys and Girls Club, the school system, Tallahassee Parks and Rec, and that everyone's coming together to support one another.
Very cool.
I just think it's an amazing town, and I've lived here now longer than I lived in Seattle.
I could say the same. What do you like least about us, about Tallahassee?
I think the fact that we're such a sleeper. I think a lot of people don't see Tallahassee for what it really is. I mean, it's a capital city with thriving businesses, businesses that individuals have opened, from small businesses to big businesses. I mean, I love the fact that Starbucks is now in many corners of Tallahassee. That means we've made it.
Folks, what a charming opportunity with a charming individual. Sue Semero, coach for Florida State women's basketball. Doing okay. We think we're going to keep her around because we learn a lot every time we get a chance to talk. Thank you for being here this morning.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
And much success to you and to your team and your staff. Go Noles.
Go Noles. Thank you.
It's a great time, and this is well-earned, in my humble opinion. I think you certainly deserve every success.
We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment here in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.